Well, welcome to VBS. I'm Jim Ice, and I will be teaching our adult class for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. There will be no adult class on Friday. But I have been thinking about something, and I decided I wanted to teach a class on it. I have some materials here that are reference materials. We'll use them as we go through the class. Tonight I've got a little bit of a video that I want to show that introduces a few topics and a couple ideas. But that will be another time we'll use video during the week. The rest of the time will be primarily our discussion. I only made 15 copies of this, so those of you that may be from here, if you can share a little bit, I'll make some more over the tonight, tomorrow, whatever. And I'll tell you what, I'll just pass a couple of those around. Here's some material that the idea behind this. Everybody get access to one kind of close. Here's the material. There's a lot of stuff here, and we're not going to go through all of this, but I wanted to highlight a couple things. We are going to be talking about the fear of God. Now, this is a topic, ironically, that is all through the Bible, over and over and over and over again. It's a very, very common phrase to say, fear God. We're told to do it over and over and over again. And we're going to talk a little bit about, if you look at the first page here, we're going to talk tonight about why. Why does God tell us to fear Him? That sounds kind of strange. For a God, a loving God, a God that has given us so much, to tell us to fear Him. That's an interesting thought. So we're going to spend a little time on that tonight. And then tomorrow night, we're going to talk about the impact of this fear. And you'll see, if you look at Tuesday there, it says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It comes from Psalms. Wednesday, we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord leads to life and rest and contentment. Well, now that's something I'm interested in. So perhaps there is value in thinking about fear of the Lord. And Thursday, we're going to conclude our study with the fear of the Lord is the key to treasure. And that comes directly from Isaiah. And basically, the rest of this document are just examples of scriptures that we will see, we will talk about, some of them, not all of them, but we'll talk about in terms of the fear of God and what the Bible has to say about it. I will draw your attention specifically to the last couple pages. If you look at page 8, it says day 2, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Then the next one is page 9 is day 3, and then day 4 is page 10. Those are the scriptures we're going to be using over the next couple nights. But tonight I wanted to really just highlight and talk a little bit about this idea of the fear of God. We've got about 45 minutes to an hour, and then I'll let you go and you get to have a little snack and your little cookies and cake and stuff like that before the kids all come back up here for the closing events. But specifically, what I really want us to think about are these core questions that are here at the bottom of the page. You can see the questions like, what does it mean to fear God? Why does God use this term to describe Himself? I mean, God describes Himself a lot of different ways. But this is one of the things He says most often. Fear. Why should I fear God? How will it impact my relationship with God if I fear Him? How will it change how I view myself? How will it change how I act? Those are the things I want to talk a little bit about tonight. So let me start by asking you this question. What does it mean to fear God?
It's a whole gamut, really, because you've got fear. That's the guy who has control over your soul. Death. That. It's
Okay? Thank you, Leonard. So Leonard has said it's kind of a gambit. It's, hey, you know, here's someone that's got control over a situation that I might not have control over. That's a little fearful when I'm out of control of anything. And then the second thing he talked about was awe and respect. Yeah? Good point. What are our thoughts, Joe?
Jim, that's... that's something. I'm sorry. I should pick up my hand now. Because I'll tell you what. That's something that I have always wondered about. Because I'm thinking this. Come on now. If I fear God, what kind of sensation or something, or what is it? What do I feel about Satan?
Good point.
If I fear God, what do I feel about Satan?
Yeah. Huh.
You know what I'm saying? To me, like, you love God. I love God. You know what I mean? Just like you love Jesus. I can't understand why it says in the Bible, fear God. I can't understand.
Well, we're going to talk about that. See? I still don't have a power.
I'll tell my Bible for you.
Steve, I've got power. Sorry.
Thank you.
Wow. I appreciate that, Joe, because that's kind of where I was too. And you remember when I was at a Christian bookstore not too long ago? It was one of these places where they were having a sale. And they were selling things at 95% off. Seriously. And I was picking up DVDs and Bibles, and I mean, I was buying everything I could think of because it was, you know, 5 cents on the dollar. And one of the little DVDs I picked up was this one, and it was called Fear God. And I thought, you know, I really like this idea. I never watched the DVD, by the way, but I started looking at some of the scriptures in here, thinking, you know what? I'm kind of like Joe. This is confusing to me. Because there are so many people that, you know, we build our religion around a comfort with God. We build our religion around being able to know and to be confident in God. Why would we fear Him? Then I got to this idea of awe and respect. You used that before, right? A lot of people say that. A lot of people say, well, what they really mean is you need to hold God in some kind of awe and respect. And I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that when I started reading this, that's kind of where I started. And I'll tell you where I ended up. I think there is a moment in our life when we should be sheerly terrified of God. Now, what's your reaction to that? What do you think?
Well, in the middle of the night, you have a little bad dream. So that fear that you have at that moment, whatever it scares you more than anything else, that's how I think fear, you know, that word is always kind of problem, the word fear.
Yeah.
Because you're taught not to be fearful of things, or
right.
Not to do this, or not, you know, but the word fear, and then put that in context of God, it's like double-sided. It's like a coin. You know, one side's heads, the other side tells them. How can you have one and not the other? How can you love and then how can you
be afraid?
Exactly.
Isn't that weird? But let's look at this. Look at the handout just for a moment. If you look under day one, it says, we must learn to fear God. This was my own contraption here, so, you know, please feel free to argue with me or change things around or whatever, but look at these scriptures that I just started listing them. I just started cutting them. I didn't cut but a portion of them out. But let me just read a few of them to you about this idea of fear. If you look at Deuteronomy 31 there, the first one says, assemble the people, men, women, and children, the foreigners residing in your town, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of His law. Look at Psalm 55. And God, who is enthroned from old, who does not change, will hear them and humble them because they have no fear of God. Interesting. Chronicles. For great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Now we could get into the whole above all gods part. That's kind of also confusing, isn't it? Because there's only one God. But wow, he is to be feared above all of the gods. Huh. Now, if you're like me, and if, particularly if you've been around churches for a long time, at this point you're saying, yeah, but I don't mean be scared. But let's keep looking. We can look through others here about learning. Flip over to this page 3, I believe it is, and it says, fear him because of his control of nature. Now, there's something that's a little bit startling. Have you ever been in a nature situation where it's out of your control? I think the Oklahoma, things fairly recently. You've been in a horrible thunderstorm or a horrible monsoon, if you're, not around here, but other places. I mean, those things can be startling. And we have scriptures here that talk about Exodus. What happened in Exodus? Why is it called Exodus? Because they're leaving, right? They're leaving Egypt. And think of everything that happened. Do you think those Egyptians were scared? I mean, somebody being able to say frogs, and there were frogs. And somebody being able to say gnats, and there were gnats. And somebody being able to say all these different plagues. That's a scary thing, particularly the last one. Right? But you can look in Exodus 14 here, it says, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses his servant. Who was scared here? The Israelites were scared because they saw what was going on to the Egyptians. And all of a sudden they got scared of God. Interesting. Isaiah 59. From the west, the people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. They will come like a pent-up flood with the breath of the Lord drives along. Jeremiah, do not save themselves. Let us fear our God, who gives us autumn and spring rains and assures us of the regular weeks of harvest. Psalm, all people will fear God. They will proclaim the works and wonder at what he has done. And then Joshua there, the reference to drying up the Jordan. Is that a reason we should be afraid of God? Because he controls nature? Well, not just that, but you know what? Think about that for a moment. That's kind of a scary thing. I mean, there are very few things in our life today that we don't have control over. Oklahoma can tell you right now, I can have a nice house, I can be in, but I'm not in control of this situation. Nature can take it like that. A flood can take things away just like that. Interesting. Here's another thing. Fear because of his power in battle. Now these are all references usually from or about war. And they talk about in Jonah. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. In Chronicles, the fear of the Lord fell on all the nations and all the lands surrounding Jonah, so they did not go into war. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. I mean, can you imagine what the Philistines thought when this little David guy, probably wasn't that little, but this David guy came out and whipped their giant, and he said it wasn't me, it was scary, kind of interesting thoughts and ideas. You flip over quickly to page 5 here, very quickly. This fear him above all gods. We read the one from Chronicles that said, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, he is to be feared above all gods. Psalm 96, for great is the Lord, most worthy of praise, he is to be feared above all gods. Very similar passage. And then this one really confuses me, but it says Psalm 89, in the council of the holy ones, God is greatly revered. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Huh. Interesting. But then you make this personal for a moment. Okay, so I think it's interesting to think about God's a scary God because he can control nature. He controls battles. He wipes out people. I mean, those things can be scary. And then you start to look at things like fear him because of his justice. That, again, my term. look at the things here that God says, Leviticus. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. That's interesting to me. How I act, he's saying, don't act wrong. Fear me. Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God.
Second Chronicles. Now let the fear of the Lord be on you. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice or partiality or bribery.
Is that scary?
There's no way out of our sin in God's eyes, except Jesus, which we'll talk about.
Right.
How about that? I mean, you can keep going down these things. You can look at his righteousness. It's another reason to just fear him.
He said a lot of words in Revelation.
Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come.
Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, the springs of water. Deuteronomy, I feared the anger and wrath of the Lord, for he was angry enough with you to destroy you. But again, Lord, listen.
I mean, we can go down these and you see these things. It's very, very challenging. And then I want to just point your attention very quickly to page 6. Now, I set up page 6 a very special way. We'll keep coming back to page 6. But you'll notice there's a statement, a scripture, and then there's an indent scripture. And then there's a scripture, and then an indented scripture.
Because one of the things, and I'm giving the end away here, right?
But one of the things you'll see when God tells us to fear him is he always reminds us not to be afraid. It's very interesting. Do you remember the picture of Isaiah? Remember the vision that Isaiah had? I've written it here for you in page 6. Yeah. The first one here. In the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, sitting on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." What was Isaiah's reaction to seeing God? You think Isaiah was scared? It sure sounds like it. Now skip to one that says Israel nation in Isaiah 2. The people will flee to caves and the rocks and the holes in the ground from the fearful presence of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he rises to shake the earth. People, I mean, here's examples of the Israelites being afraid and hiding.
Israel nation, again, second one. This is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first, I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let him foretell what is to come. What's God saying here? Anybody think you're good? Anybody think you're powerful in knowledge? Step up now. What he said. And you can look at each one of these. Moses, when Moses interacted with the burning bush, Acts tells us that God told him, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. And then John talks about, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw 7 gold lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. And the hair on his head was white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell head at his feet as though dead. I mean, you know, I appreciate and I enjoy the concept that we should honor and respect God. But hang with me for just a few minutes tonight and think about God asks us to fear Him. Now, that's not all He asks us to do, so don't get anxious yet. But think about that for a moment. I think we have softened this message so much because we think, well, people won't like a fearful God. But what God, I believe, is telling us is, I am somebody you should be afraid of. And I believe, unfortunately, this message is gone from a lot of teachings today. Now, I was raised at a different time, and there was more hellfire and brimstone and all that stuff. I'm not talking about that, because that's Satan. I'm talking about afraid of who God is. I want to show you a quick video. This guy describes this concept a little bit. As I said, I built the class, and then the other night I looked at the video, and I said, oh, this is good. I'll use it, too. And I like the way he says this. Now, I want to ask you, but I'm going to beg your forgiveness on one thing. They use a very interesting metaphor here. And the music's a little weird, and the visuals are a little weird, but it'll come together. I want you to just pay attention to this guy, what he has to say about this concept. Because I'm struck. I think there's something very interesting for us to consider here. Hopefully, it will come up. Give me just 1 second. Yeah. If anybody, this is about a 15-minute little video here. I may stop it in the middle and we'll talk a little bit about it. Oh. That might help.
And listening to messages and watching different trends come and go. And all the while, there's been this frustration going, gosh, it seems like what I'd read in the Bible was pretty different from what I'd experience in a church building, in a church service. And I also noticed this trend where as things became more popular in the world, the church would follow suit and go, oh yeah, that's popular here. And as people would say certain things are unpopular, the church would almost get embarrassed of those things, like embarrassed of certain doctrines, maybe even embarrassed of the way God described himself. One of the biggest issues that you see in Scripture is this idea of the fear of God. I mean, the Bible says in Psalm 111, verse 10, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's not that there aren't a million other things to learn about God, but he says you've got to start with the fear of the Lord, because that's the beginning of wisdom. And so for me to be wise and begin to understand God, it starts with a healthy understanding of fear. And because in the church, there was this trend where people were saying, yeah, that fear of God, that's kind of old school. You know, this hellfire, brimstone. We don't really do that anymore. So in church, we start going, okay, yeah. Let's talk about the other areas of God. But if we skip the fear of God, we won't understand the other areas. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And anytime someone would quote this a verse on the fear of the Lord, because it's inevitable, it's in there hundreds of times, but the moment they would say the fear of the Lord, they would say, okay, let's stop here and make sure you understand that when I say fear, I don't mean fear. It's more of a respect. It's more of an awe. And I would read and go, are you sure about that? Because it sure looks like real fear to me. And when people came in contact with this God, it didn't look like just a respect or an awe. It sure appears that they are terrified. Years ago, I went surfing with some friends, and it was probably a little too big for me, but you know, everyone was out, so I went out. And I remember falling and getting sucked under this wave. I don't know if you've ever been under the power of a wave. It's happened to me several times, but this was so different because it was so powerful. It was like my body is just tumbling, and I'm just tucked in there, and I am so scared because I'm spinning so fast. I have no idea which way is up. My head is freezing, you know, in this freezing cold water. I'm getting nauseous, but the worst part is I'm feeling like I can't hold my breath any longer, and it's just tumbling, man. I'm like, when's this thing gonna let go? And I'm so, come on, let me go. God, I'm gonna die. And then finally, last second, it's like I can finally see a little bit of light, and I just reach out and go, you know, I get to the top and I can take this breath. Oh, but that feeling of just intense fear, you see, that's what I see in the Bible. It's not like they think to themselves, okay, I should muster up some reverence now, or I should show them a little bit of respect. No, it's this out of control, like Isaiah the prophet, when he saw God, he just goes, I'm dead. He's going to kill me. It's just this instant fear. John, the beloved disciple, the one that Jesus loved, when Jesus comes back in his glorified state, John sees him, and he says, I just fell at his feet like I was dead. I just fainted. I just passed out. That's what I see in Scripture. It's not this idea of this God that we can control. It's really weird to me how nowadays people talk about God with such an arrogance. Like they really believe that they're the first person that's going to be able to come before God and question Him, and that God's going to actually go, wow, I never thought of that before. You know, it's just this, how do we get there? I mean, think about it. If Moses and Isaiah and John and even the high angels all have the same response to God, why would I think that I'm going to respond differently? Or that somehow I won't have the same fear. See, it's not even an issue of should I fear, should I not fear, should I talk. I'm just saying this is just reality. The reality is whoever you are, the moment you see God, you are going to fear Him. We all will. In Isaiah 44, verse 6, he goes, I'm the first and the last, and besides me, there is no God. Who's like me? Who's like me? Let him proclaim it. In other words, is there someone else that's like me? Then have him speak up. And he goes on and he says, I appointed the ancient people. He goes, if you think that you can match up to me, then why don't you declare what's to come? Okay, tell me the future. This guy goes, I know the future. I knew when you were going to be born. And I know the last day you're going to have on this earth. I know everything. Why don't you tell me the future if you want to come and challenge me? Those are the words that God uses. He doesn't say, oh, come teach me something. He goes, no. You need to understand there is no one else. There's one being. There's always been just me. And no one can challenge you. You want to challenge me? Why don't you stand up right now and just tell everyone, hey, I could live without you. You see, this is the way God speaks. And I know this isn't a popular way to talk, because we want a more manageable God. We want a God that we can question and tell Him things and explain things to Him. But the truth is this is the way God speaks about Himself. And sometimes in our churches, we're almost embarrassed that our God is as powerful as He is, and that He speaks so boldly about Himself and tells us to fear him. But here's the crazy part about it, is the next verse, right after he says these things, in verse 8, he says, fear not. He doesn't say fear me there. He actually switches and says fear not. And it's almost...
I'm going to break for just a second and we'll come back to this part that he's making now. But what's your reaction to the first thing that he said here? What do you think?
Your reaction?
Truthful.
Leonard, what did you say?
Truthful. That's the way it seems to pop up. Gives the reference to the sense that he's sovereign.
You know, I was struck. I mean, first of all, he's a pretty good presenter. And he speaks well. But wow. I mean, I don't think we understand what holiness means, or we would be deadly afraid of it. Or righteousness, we would be deadly afraid.
Well, we were lucky, weren't we? Because that's not only me.
But isn't that interesting?
I mean,
yeah, me too, actually. Me too. I mean, I think what he has said is true. I think churches today are a little afraid of saying fear. Earl had the difficult situation today to do a funeral. Actually, the guy was here not this last Sunday, but the Sunday before, sat right over here, had fellowship dinner with us and passed this Thursday. A friend of Earl's for a long time. And Earl was talking about, you know, God knows the number hours, the number of days. He even calculated how many days his friend Tom, was his name, had lived. You know, and candidly, what Earl was doing in that worship service was trying to put a little bit of what we used to call the fear of God, you know, into people. And I can tell you that there was a point in my life, two points actually, that struck me when he was talking about this. One was, I can remember, you know, I was 16 when I became a Christian. I can remember that service being petrified. Because I knew I was wrong. And I knew I was in a situation that was just, I've got no excuse. And I wonder if we've lost some of that in what we teach people. Because we teach God is love. God is love. There's no doubt about that. But the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And so it's an interesting concept, I think, to struggle with, to think a little bit about.
seriously not breathing as much. And it, that imagery is just like you're, as if you're just floating through life. It was almost like that bed is rising up, like she was just floating through her life.
Yeah, it gets worse.
Okay, great.
So make sure she breathes, okay?
But truly, I mean, it's just like you go through the life, you're sleeping, you're just hanging out, and all of a sudden, it's just like your life is just rising. But it's like, is she really going up? Or is she being drunk out? And it's like, is she in the middle of nowhere? And with him, him talking, it's like you're listening to him talking, but you're getting that image of that woman. It's like, which way is she feeling? You know, it's really
I think he's tying it to his to that illustration of when he was, what did he say, he was surfing, yeah. And being caught in something and getting to a point of just absolute sheer terror.
Right.
I can understand that to a certain extent. When I was a kid, I was about 15, and one of my best friends and I were staying in his camp, which he had down when we were down in West Virginia, and that's where I grew up. And Cheat Lake is there, you know, that anybody down in Morgantown, you know, the big Cheat Lake. Well, there's the backwaters of Cheat. And we decided there was a rope swing on the other side. We were going to swim across there. And he was an Eagle Scout. He was a great swimmer. He took off. Halfway across that lake, I was done. I mean, I could not go any further. I was struggling. I could not. I was, first of all, I was afraid to swim. I was afraid of the water. I always had been. He came back, you know, he helped me up by my little shorts here and back and kept me, gave me some breath and things like that. But there was a moment when the terror I had was just unbelievable. But as you're going to see, as he talks about for the rest of this, there was also the moment immediately following that where that terror was gone forever. I was no longer afraid of water. I mean, it was a very difficult, dangerous, and terrible moment. But when I got through that moment and understood that, then it became a different kind of thing. And I think that's what he's about to explain here. When you look back at the page that I was referring to a few moments ago, I think I said it was page 6, the one I created kind of uniquely. What I started doing when I looked at these fear scriptures is, you know, these indents are immediately following the ones that were before them. And so, you know, you hear this thing of Isaiah being afraid because he's in God's presence and he thinks he's going to die because I am just unclean. I don't deserve to be here. And then it says in verse 6, that's actually a typo. Yeah, 6 and 7, that's a typo, sorry. It says, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar. He touched my mouth and, you know, touched my lips, taken my guilt away, and atoned for my sins. You look at the next one in Isaiah. In Isaiah 41, it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Again, after he talks about being first and the last, and nobody better challenge me, he then follows it by saying, but do not tremble. Don't be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? I mean, even in Moses' situation, he tells them, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take care of you. When John sees Jesus in his glorified state, you know, in his vision, after he says, I felt like a dead man, it says, then Jesus placed his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. But I honestly believe, and by the way, the whole next page is all the situations of the physical Jesus where the people met him and were afraid because of, you know, he walked on water. You know, they thought he was a ghost. He did all these things. And he would always follow that up by saying, but don't be afraid. I think there's something important about being afraid first so that we can understand what it's like not to. I think that's really important. And unfortunately, I'm afraid. Some of our teaching is moving very quickly to the point of, don't be afraid, everything's fine. When we haven't woken people up to, this God's a righteous God. I mean, I'm going to tell you, friends, if I understood this, my life would be different every day. Because I would be afraid. some of the things I do, I would be afraid of God because of that. Now, God's forgiven me. God's given me these gifts. God's given me this thing, this opportunity to say, don't be afraid. But over and over and over in Scripture, he says, fear me. Then he says, don't be afraid. And I think that's really important. There's a couple of hands. I'm sorry. Joe?
Like, if you believe, you're going to be afraid. You know what I'm saying? I was starting to say, like, the thing about it is, if in order to really believe in God, you have to be afraid. You can't believe in God and not be afraid of something that's going to happen. You're going to fall. And you have a hard time following Him without fearing. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for mankind, it's hard for me. You know what I'm saying? To follow His word without fearing what will happen if I don't.
And, you know, it's interesting. I'm not sure. When I grew up, I was fearing the consequences. He doesn't say fear the consequences. He says fear me. And part of that is because He is so awesome. We can't fathom it. It's bigger than our brains can get around. Kind of scary. A couple other hands and then we'll show the rest of this quick video.
Isn't that how you learn and grow? If you don't have the teaching, if you don't continue to learn and grow, you don't happy
lesson
if you don't
want. Yeah. I mean, tell me something, guys. And I know Earl preaches this all the time, and I love it. And I wish he was still here. One of the things Earl preaches that I've really learned from Earl, I've probably been here, oh gosh, I have been here 30 years. Yeah. And I've heard one or two of his sermons. And, you know, he is very good at talking about our response to God because of all this love He's given us. That is a great thing. It is a marvelous thing. Once we have learned, we no longer have to fear Him. But I think we have to learn to fear Him first. He is a God. You know, God Himself says He's jealous. And there's a series of scriptures in the little handout there about God's jealousy. It's a bad thing, it says, to fall into the hands of a jealous God. You don't want to do that. Now, thankfully, this jealous God reaches out to us and says, once you understand who I am and why I am to be feared, you don't have to fear me anymore. But so many people in our world want to jump to, you don't have to fear Him. Well, you know, you don't have to fear Him. It doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter what I say. I mean, did you read some of those scriptures that said, you know, if you treat somebody else wrong, you better fear God. Because He's not going to put up with that. You know, I said, whoa.
But this is, last Tuesday, I go to Bible study Tuesday night, the live here on Tuesday, with the East Side Lutheran Church of Christ. And Jim Stafford did Fear of God, 15-minute exhortation. And he was bringing, like, you know, today's kids, today's people in the office, or he's a Hallmark, not Hallmark, he's guy you call if you have problems, type thing. There's just
help support.
Support, yeah. And how people don't compare the losses or the consequences of their actions in China today. Very good.
It's a great point. It's a very interesting point. Other thoughts? Let me show you the rest of this. Oh, I'm sorry.
I have a hard time with this because I have two little girls I raise, and we never really fear God. Like, I always say God's going to protect you.
Sure.
You know, in my household, I try to teach them, you know, when you enter the kingdom of the Lord, you need to treat others well, you need to, you know, and it's hard for me to fear God because I'm teaching that.
Well, but think of it this way for a moment. Think about those children. Maybe this is maybe it's just the way Christine and I raised ours. But, you know, you can beg them all you want at first to say, no, 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 you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. And they're going to do it anyway. So they get to a point where they fear you a little bit. They fear what's going to happen. They know what's going to happen. And now all of a sudden you got their attention.
And they don't have to fear it anymore because there's no consequence anymore. That's kind of the idea, I think. You know, I mean, it's enough of a discipline and a directness from God. But, you know, again, you're going to hear some of my child-rearing philosophies here, but I recently was with these kids, that these kids were running the family. They had no fear of the parents because the parents were not consistent. The parent never, you know, acted a certain way, never disciplined them, never told them no. Maybe they told them no, but never did anything about it. You know, all of those kind of things, right? Everybody's seen them in the Walmart or wherever you are, right? I mean, you see them all the time. You see them all the time. There's something about that here. And unfortunately, we got a lot of people, I think, that want to live like those spoiled little kids do and don't respect God the Father. It's an interesting idea. But again, I need to emphasize the point so we don't lose it, that He wants us to know His fear so that He can let it go. It's, you know, it's fear me. You should be fearful of me because of who I am. But because of who I am, I choose to treat you this way. That's a very interesting message.
But Exodus 20:20 has the fear of God keeps you from sin.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, in our world, and God does have grace around what we do and how we sin and why we do it, but I got to remind myself sometimes of that discipline, that fear of God. Let's listen to the rest of his. I think I backed it up just a little bit to catch this last
point. Confusing at first. You go, wait a second. So boldly about himself and tells us to fear him. But here's the crazy part about it, is the next verse, right after he says these things, in verse 8, he says, fear not. He doesn't say fear me there. He actually switches and says fear not. And it's almost confusing at first. You go, wait a second. You're telling me who you are, and then once I get to this point of fear, you kind of go, but fear not, nor be afraid. Now, why would he say that? You see, it's actually a very common theme in Scripture. For example, when Isaiah saw God and he's terrified, he goes, you're going to kill me. Then God says, oh, no, Isaiah, it's okay. I'm actually going to send one of my angels. And an angel takes this coal. And he says, you know, Isaiah was saying, gosh, I'm such a sinner. I've said such bad things. And God says, no, watch, this coal is going to touch your lips. And I'm going to forgive you of everything. It's when John falls over like a dead man and just is terrified, Jesus goes, no, don't be afraid. It's me, Jesus. It's the same thing that he's doing here. He's saying to them, he goes, look, I am this amazing God that you ought to fear. But once you get to that point, he goes, you don't have to fear me. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's just this. But you have to get to that point. You have to get to this point where you understand it's not about you. It's about this being who is way more powerful than you. And rather than trying to challenge him, you can actually find security in him. You see, what's amazing is God uses these terms in Scripture. He calls us his children. Think about that for a second. The security of a child. I mean, I've got four kids, and I'm not like this big tough guy or anything, but if anyone tried to harm one of my kids, of course I'm going to try to protect them. And to think of the God of the universe thinking of me like one of his children? Are you kidding me? And he uses terms like friend. I mean, think of the way you would defend your friends or maybe even die for your friends. And the crazy one to me, the really intense one, is when he refers to the church as his bride. If someone were attacking my wife, I mean, what an absolute loser I would be if I just said, you're going to have to fend for yourself, honey. No, I'd jump in. I'd give my life for her. And to think that the God of the universe is calling us his bride, there's a security we can have. I mean, that's where the security comes from. But you'll never get there if you're not willing to get to that point of fear. I think this would be a lot easier if we could actually just see him. Can you imagine if we just got 5 seconds in his presence? It really would change us forever. Because then we would see, okay, now I know why I need to fear this God. And now I don't want to just flippantly disobey his commands anymore. I want to take him seriously. But not just that, but it would change our whole mindset, because we'd realize, now that I've seen him, I realize there's nothing else to fear. Fear the Lord, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:23, it says, fear the Lord actually leads to life, and those who have it rest satisfied. See, for too many years, we felt like the fear of the Lord was a bad thing, and we didn't realize this is the very thing that would lead us to life. Without the fear of the Lord, you're not going to understand why you should follow Jesus. Without a proper understanding of the fear of the Lord, we wouldn't understand the power that's available to us through the Holy Spirit. God wants you to fear him, because that's going to lead you into a life that you've never had. And it's a better life. It's a secure life. It's a life that we were created for.
So you breathing? Okay. So as I'm saying, that the metaphor is a little intense, but I think it's an interesting one. And that is that once you understand you are completely out of control. Because I love what he said. If we could have 5 seconds in front of God, this would be so clear. You know, I mean, we would have that experience of recognizing instantly who he is and how awesome and mighty and fearful we should be of him because of who we are. Interesting, I think, to consider that. Now, you know, that 5 seconds would change the way we think about him, change the way we think about us. But all of a sudden we realize just how magnificent a God is, and is that fearful, but chooses love. Chooses to treat us a completely different way than the way we deserve. I think the reason these guys we talked about with Isaiah and John and others, you know, fall down dead is that they know just who they are. And all of a sudden it's very clear. You know what it says at the end? All time. I always love this scripture, actually. It says that how many knees are going to bow? Every knee is going to bow. Why?
why do you think that's going to be true? Is it because God's going to say, bye? I don't think so. I think as soon as they find themselves, whoever it is, Madeline O'Hare, everybody know Madeline O'Hare? Mm-hmm. And she was the lady that's the big atheist person that God tried to get the prayers out of school on. You know, whoever they think they are, 1 second in front of God, they're on their face. Now, frankly, for me, scary is kind of comforting. Because then you get to the whole point of, and that's the God, my God, that calls me to be his friend, that wants me to be his child, that has forgiven me and allowed me into his presence. You know how dramatic it was when Jesus died that the temple curtain was torn out? You know what happened in the Holy of Holies? Mike, how many times did somebody go into the Holy of Holies?
Once a year.
And what did they do? They tied a rope around him in case he died, because nobody else could go in there because they knew they would be dead. And all of a sudden now, it's open. I mean, the Jews had a righteous fear. You know, the Ark of the Covenant. That was just his words. And somebody touched it, even because it was about to fall over, touched it, dead. I mean, I hope.
Well, just looking at the first plan that they had about the Philistines, how many people died.
Yeah, I mean, this is a God that we put in a little box over to the side, and we make him like us. And he in no way is like us. We're a little bit like him. Because he made us that way, but we in no way, he in no way is like us. He is so powerful. I mean, seriously, guys, I love this illustration. If just 2 seconds in front of God, this would be so clear to all of us. So we got to struggle to do it. I think that's why over and over and over and over and over again, just illustrated by those scriptures that I passed out to you, it says, learn to fear God. Not to be afraid of him, but to know who he is so that you can recognize just how big a gift it is he gave us to say, you don't have to fear me. They have to fear me, but you don't have to fear me. That's pretty special. Any other thoughts, concerns, emotional outbursts? Yeah.
What I was going to say as far as if you saw them, you know, you would hear them. I think that the basic thing is like when you're driving, not that driving is stupid, but if I did or, you know, if you do, you don't fear the cops. And when you see that light, then
absolutely. Your heart starts racing. You didn't do anything wrong, right? Because there is a righteousness, there is a law, there is an understanding. That's a great illustration. Thank you for that. And you know, instantly, your heart's beating, and even if you didn't do anything wrong.
I'm just taking a moment to mention that I think intense pain can cause pain fear as well. For instance, when I have a kidney stone, if anyone's ever experienced that, it's intense pain that doesn't stop. And I think, personally, I think if this is what hell is like, there's no way that I want to be here. And I can see that being the constant pain that it would never, ever, ever release. It should be 10 times worse than absolutely. The fear of that.
And so I'm glad you brought that back up, because I want to go back to Joe's question at the beginning, because he was talking about, how do I fear God? If I fear God, what does that mean for Satan? Right? I'm going to say something maybe dramatically different, and you may not invite me back tomorrow night, but God is much scarier than Satan is.
Yeah.
Because God, at one point, will just put his thumb and say, done. Cast down. It's over. I mean, God chooses not to be. And it's maybe a different kind of scary, you know what I mean, in terms of someone out to get me and evil. And that's not who God is, and that's not why God's scary. God's scary because he's holy, because he has a majesty, and he is so, I don't know how to describe it, awesome, I guess, you know? Fascinating.
For non-Christians, Satan is a comfort because he's doing everything they like, and they have fallen because this is what they want to do. And so they don't see Satan.
You know, and the last class I taught on Sunday mornings was about Satan and you know, temptations and things like that. I think Satan's the reason we don't fear God. Because he keeps saying, oh, God's goody-goody. God is such a nice, you know, God is so, you know, and people say, well, God is good, but he is so good that when those of us that stand, all of us, stand in front of him and we're not good, we're instantly on our face. Fascinating. We got a break, I believe, right about now. So let's have a word of prayer. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about, we'll revisit this topic a little bit, and if you have other things you can think about, I invite you to take the scriptures, look through them, think about them, challenge me on these ideas. That's very, very helpful. But tomorrow night, we're going to talk about why does he say that this fear of God is the beginning of wisdom? And we'll spend some time with that. Let's pray, please. Father, as we come before you, we're thankful that we can approach you and we can come into your presence because you allow. Father, we ask that as we think about who you are, that we see and begin to understand your holiness, your righteousness, and what that calls from us and how that contrasts with us so dramatically. Father, we're thankful each time you taught these prophets to fear you, you also reminded them that you were there for them and that they did not need to fear you. So God, we pray that you teach us to fear you and you teach us and relieve us of that fear because of your love and grace and power and strength. We ask for your blessings tonight and on this VBS. Help us, Father, to come back tomorrow and to think about you more. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's cookies and punch downstairs. And is it nice out? Are the kids inside or are they outside?
They're all over.
Okay, well, Ann told me last night that they may be in the fellowship hall.
No, it's nice out.
Okay. So you got the fellowship hall to yourselves at this point. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Why don't we collect those Bibles and we'll stick them right in the front there. Thank you for that.
You only have 14 copies now because you read one.
I know. <I'll make>
But it was dramatic, wasn't it?
No, you know.
I got plenty. You got my originals. Thank you.